Good morning and welcome, to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you from our studio in a rainy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, we have a lot of things to cover today. If only there was something to talk about, Greg Bach.
Nothing at all. I think Tony covered it pretty well when he said, can you believe the weather we're having?
Yeah.
I think we could talk about that all day. Nothing else really going on. Turn away, folks. Walk away. Nothing to see here.
It's just going
to
be all light and fluffy.
Regular Friday. Recipes.
Yeah.
Weather.
Sure.
And then favorite sock.
Combinations.
Exactly.
Excellent. Yes. No, actually, there are a number of things to talk about today. Dan Schaefer will be joining us at 10:33 from the recombobulation area. We will do some debate recap the presidential debate last night between President Biden and former President Trump. Next hour, 11:33 on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller will join us to talk all things entertainment. And I'm very excited to hear about the new Quiet Place movie because that is the one scary franchise that I watch.
Is it? It's not a horror movie, though, right?
No, but it's still scary. And so because I'm a coward, I always look up the spoilers ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
So I know where the jump scares are.
I'm right on board. I can't. I read this. I read the spoilers and then still don't see the movies.
Oh, really?
I'm such a scaredy cat.
And a reminder, by the way, too, if you are in the Waukesha area, we have a wonderful farmer's market here in Waukesha. Waukesha Farmer's Market tomorrow from 8 until noon. In the parking lot of the bank that's right along the river there. I'm going to be down there tomorrow from 8 until noon.
What?
So please stop by and say hello. You have a chance to register to win this really nice bicycle. And we have little tchotchkes. And we have a couple chairs. So if you want to sit down with me and have a longer conversation, I absolutely welcome that. Come on down. We'll chat.
Be respectful.
Yeah, just, you know, let's not yell. Yeah. Shall we not yell?
All right. There's no yelling at a farmer's market.
There's no yelling. We are going to get to Bing Bong Bingo presidential debate update in a little bit.
Yeah.
But there is other breaking news that we wanted to cover.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff coming out of the Supreme Court now. They are going to be issuing their immunity decision on whether or not the former president has complete and total immunity. Apparently that is coming on Monday.
Yeah.
But this morning, the Supreme Court ruled that an Oregon city that ticketed homeless people for sleeping outside, rejecting arguments that such anti-camping measures violate the Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishment. Justice Neil Gorsuch writing the opinion for the 6-3 conservative majority, the three liberal justices dissenting. This centered on anti-camping ordinances in Grants Pass, Oregon, challenged by several people experiencing homelessness. It has been a closely watched case. Certainly there has been a surge in homelessness. This is across the country. Mm-hmm. This isn't just happening in Milwaukee or Oregon or anywhere else. The Constitution's Eighth Amendment serves many important functions, according to Gorsuch. It does not authorize federal judges to wrest those rights and responsibilities from the American people and in their place dictate the nation's homelessness policy. Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor, with the dissent, said sleep is a biological necessity, not a crime. For some people, sleeping outside is their only option. The city punishes them for being homeless. That is unconscionable and unconstitutional. Apparently not.
Oh, I mean, cities have been doing this for years now with their fun ways of creating city benches that won't allow you to sleep on them, or putting like little bumps on ledges where if you even try to lay down, you're laying
on it's just too uncomfortable.
Steel bolts. It's disgusting.
Well, and I think what disappoints me about this is that this applies even if all the shelters are full. So I'm not sure what the option is for homeless people and where they're supposed to go if all the shelters are full.
Oh.
And we don't have enough housing. We don't have enough shelters. We don't have enough of these facilities. I know it's a problem for cities.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it can cause lots of issues for residents and drug use. And even among the populations that are camping, there is crime and drug use and assault. So this, it's a mess. It is a mess. This isn't going to fix it.
No. And as with regard to your question, like, what are they supposed to do? I have an answer to that right here. Not their problem. it's the homeless people's problems. Apparently, it's they can get a house, they buy, get an apartment. It's there's the decades long thing of like, it, well, they must be homeless for a reason. It just allows the heartlessness to come out, even though there are plenty of municipal solutions out there that require an investment in money.
Yes,
but it pays in the long run. But they don't want to see that.
Again, I don't know what will happen after this and what other measures are going to be taken. Certainly no one seems to be talking, as you said, about additional housing or resources or anything like that. So it will be interesting moving forward. Another big decision from the Supreme Court this morning. The headline in Politico reads, Supreme Court shifts power over federal regulations from agencies to judges. So the Chevron doctrine has been around since the 80s. And from what I understand, and Jim Santel, lawyer, show tomorrow on Civic Media called Amicus Brief,
yeah,
where he talks about all things legal. We are going to talk about this with him on Tuesday. He's going to be joining us on Tuesday. This decision will make it harder for President Biden or any future president to act on any number of policy areas, like expanding protections for pregnant workers, to curbing climate pollution, regulating AI, the Chevron deference, the Reagan-era doctrine, required judges to defer to agencies' reasonable interpretations of ambiguous federal laws. So essentially, agencies with scientists, like at the EPA, they would defer to the scientists to make clarifications if there were gaps in this. And now it gives it to judges.
Yeah. I mean, if we get Project 2025, those
we're
agencies
not gonna have any we're not going to have any experts left anyway.
Yeah.
We're talking about food and safety rules. We're talking about meat plant inspections.
Yeah.
These kinds of things.
OSHA. Yeah. This is health and safety. And we're gonna
allow it now to be decided by a judge who may have no expertise in this particular area.
Yeah, I think the question I would ask would be, can the judge still defer to the agency if they wanted to?
That's a good question.
Yeah, and that's, which we can ask Mr. Santel next week.
Well, we'll talk to Jim Santel about this in a little more depth on Tuesday at 10:33. The High Court's about face comes after more than a decade of campaigning from conservatives, including some of the Republican-appointed justices themselves, looking to rein in the so-called administrative state, lands just 2 years after the justices ruled on a climate case to limit regulations that pose major implications for politics or the economy. And we do hear a lot of complaints about regulations and burdensome regulations from companies and business owners, and I've never been a business owner. I don't know what it's like to navigate all of that. You have.
I'm a business owner. I own a comedy club. It might not be a big billion-dollar tech firm or a Fortune 500, but there are fees and taxes, things we have to pay. Do we grumble about them? We do, but we pay them and we deal with them because we have to, and we believe that this is us just putting forth the money we need to operate safely. We're not looking to expanding our freedoms. I mean, granted, like, we are a comedy club and it's not the same, but there are so many small business owners who grumble over this stuff, and it's just not worth it to me. We have other things to do, and to pay my liquor license, and the liquor license goes up every time they have to pay it, then that's just what the cost of doing business. You don't like it, then take your chances of not having one. But I mean, it's, I don't know. I can't listen to this. Business owners like grumble about taxes, and because it's like, it's not a, no one's ever been able to show me like how their business has failed because of taxes
or regulations
even too. I mean, I don't know anybody who owns a business that is so heavy duty regulated that they're like, I just can't do it. Sorry.
Can't do it anymore. We're closing.
Yeah.
Another decision that came down from the Supreme Court today, ruling the Justice Department overstepped by charging hundreds of people who rioted at the Capitol on January 6th of 2021 with obstruction. This decision could force prosecutors to reopen at least some of the cases. Additionally, the High Court ruled that the charge could be filed against the rioters if prosecutors can demonstrate they were trying not to just push their way in, but to stop the arrival of certificates used to count the electoral votes. I don't know how they're going to do that.
I'm sorry. These people tried to storm the Capitol. They tried to stop the process. They did a treasonous act. They are traitors. I don't want to make distinctions. They are criminals. They belong where they're at right now. And they are not hostages. They are not patriots. And if they start going free because of because the court said overstepping, then what's to stop them the next time? And the next time after that, or in 2020, if Joe Biden wins.
You mean this year, 2024.
Sorry, 2024. Yeah. Sorry. Whoa, what had happened there? Went back in time. Yeah, it's so frustrating.
And just briefly, we wanted to give you a little update, a Popcorn King update watch. Robin Voss in the news. Nice, Kelvin. Bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission yesterday rejected an effort to force a recall of Robin Voss after determining not enough valid signatures were collected. From what I understand, this was about they had enough signatures and they had enough valid signatures, but they continued collecting them after the end date.
Oh, yeah. Done.
So it was kind of a procedural thing.
Yeah, usually is.
But that is the procedure.
Yep.
And the people, obviously, who support the recall, they are not happy about this.
No.
And they want the entire Wisconsin Elections Commission now to deband. Just go away.
Well, I'll tell you what. On my way home tonight, I'll stop by the guy's house because I live a couple miles away from the headquarters, which is a dude's house.
And, of course, Robin Voss had called the people targeting him whack jobs and morons.
And stupid.
And stupid, just in case you forgot. All right. We are going to talk about the presidential debates coming up. And a little recap, pull out your cards for bingo presidential debate cards. Oof.
Yeah.
We're the ones who came up with it. I can't remember.
I know.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder, if you are looking for some new snappy stuff to wear over the summer, go to civicmedia.us. Look for the little shop button in the upper right-hand corner that will take you to the Civic Store. And we've got some really nice t-shirts and some nice hats and some other tchotchkes if you want to check that out. So help spread the word and buy some Civic Media merch.
Yeah.
And help us get the word out that we exist. As promised, a bing bong bingo presidential debate update. If you had your debate cards that we had on offer yesterday, and this was all courtesy of Penny and LaCrosse, who came up with it. Here's the headline from Channel 12 WISN here in Milwaukee about last night's face-off between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. A raspy and sometimes halting Biden tries at debate to confront Trump, who responds with falsehoods. I'm really tired of that word.
Falsehoods?
Yes.
It sounds like a fancy word for lying.
It is. It was full of lies. It was.
Lies.
But it was a fire hose of lies.
Yeah.
And granted, President Biden did not start out strong last night.
No.
He didn't.
No, I got the text messages to prove it. I mean, everyone was worried out the gate.
But as things went on, I think he got better about the middle of the debate, and then things didn't end badly. I don't know why they were talking about whose golf game was better. That we could have lived without that.
That's just so ridiculous. Way to make yourselves look even more elite.
I am seeing a lot of criticism this morning about Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and how they just allowed, there was no real-time fact-checking.
No.
None. They just, when Donald Trump would spew all these falsehoods, they just let him go. They just let him go. And then they took the time, though, afterwards, after most people had shut the TV off, then they brought in their fact checker, Daniel Dale.
Yeah.
Who spent almost three minutes of a list of all the lies that Donald Trump said during last night's debate. Calvin, let's play debate fact check number one, please.
He said some Democratic states allow people to execute babies after birth, an egregious lie that is illegal in every state. He said everybody, even Democrats, wanted Roe v. Wade overturned.
No.
Roe was supported by 2/3 of Americans, even more Democrats. He said every legal scholar wanted Roe overturned, abortion returned to the states. Legal scholars have told me directly this is not true. He said the U.S. currently has the biggest budget deficit ever. No, that happened under Trump in 2020. He said the U.S. currently has a record trade deficit with China. That also happened under Trump in 2018. He said Biden personally gets a lot of money from China. Zero evidence of this. He said there were no terror attacks during his presidency. In fact, there were multiple attacks.
Daniel Dale, last night after the presidential debate, with 3 minutes of all the lies that Donald Trump spewed without being stopped at any point by Jake Tapper or Dana Bash.
No, not one bit. And people were, like you said, so upset. I was upset because, at the very least, Jake Tapper has made it his calling card to consistently rail on the former president. So you thought, oh, okay, here we go. Jake's going to step in. Nothing. And I guarantee you, the moment someone points fingers at him or he responds to it, it's going to be, that's not my job. My job was to moderate. No, your job was to keep them focused. And he was lying. You did nothing.
So what happens to all the arguments from the right about Joe Biden shotgunning Red Bulls backstage and that CNN was a completely unfair place to have this debate because Jake Tapper and Dana Bash weren't going to be fair during the debate? They're just not going to talk about any of that now.
Nope. It's over now. It's done.
It's done.
Yeah. Trump, as you actually texted me, he said, you said he's doesn't look insane. I think that was the words you used.
And that was my takeaway was, yeah, he didn't look nuts.
Yeah.
Yay.
Good job.
I don't know that that's enough to make me vote for him that on this one occasion. And I do have to applaud Donald Trump's trainers because the fact that he was actually able to control himself, that couldn't have been easy to get him to do that. I mean, what kind of treats do you have to involve in order to get him to behave?
Burrito bowls and Diet Coke.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Big Macs?
But isn't it? I mean, okay. I don't. It's weirder when he's composed for a long amount of time.
Because it never happens.
It happens so little because you're always waiting for arms a flailing, fingers a wagging, voice and sweat. But when he's composed, you're like, oh, God, What's
Who's
happening?
This?
What is happening right now? When's this all going to come crumbling down? Like, you waited for it and just never really.
Again, I give well done trainers.
You think they use a clicker?
Maybe. Could respond to that. Liz from Saukville texting and listening here on WAUK. I don't care that President Biden stutters, loses his train of thought occasionally. He has accomplished so much, and that's what matters to me. And Laura from Wisconsin Rapids listening on WFHR. Not having real-time fact-checking in the face of Trump's boastful dishonesty is embarrassing, in my opinion. And it's journalistic malpractice.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't just, like, if this was 30 years ago, well, 30 years ago, they wouldn't be telling that lies in that volume.
But repeatedly, and have them picked up and repeated constantly and constantly and constantly.
Yeah. This is another situation where the media is going to sit back and go, well, it's not our fault. It wasn't our responsibility. Says you. You're the ones who wanted this. You approach them, and you're just going to sit there and let them talk?
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream. The fact check happened at like midnight. Yeah, it was way after the fact. Yeah. Way after the fact. After most people had already tuned out. Do we have time for another fact check from Daniel Dale before we go to the news, Calvin? Let's hit that.
He said Iran didn't fund Hamas, Hezbollah, other terror groups under his presidency. Iran, in fact, did. He said Biden wants to quadruple people's taxes. That is pure fiction. He said the U.S. has provided way more aid to Ukraine than Europe had. It's actually the opposite. He said the U.S. has provided about $200 billion in Ukraine aid. It's closer to $110 billion. He said 18 or 19 million people have crossed the border under Biden. That is millions too high. He said many of these migrants are from prisons or mental institutions. His own campaign cannot corroborate this. He said Biden has only created jobs for illegal immigrants. Total nonsense. What? He said Nancy Pelosi turned down his offer of 10,000 National Guard troops on January 6th. There's no evidence she even got such an offer. It was the president, not Pelosi, who had the power to deploy the D.C. Guard. He said Pelosi now acknowledges she turned down the troops. No, her office tells me this claim is still a lie.
Daniel Dale running out of breath last night. Sit down.
It's on fire.
That's only half.
Yeah.
That's only half of all the lies that Donald Trump had last night during the presidential debate. We're going to keep the conversation going a little bit and do a little more recap with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, who will be joining us right after the news. So stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bingo night, forget your troubles and come to
well, forget your troubles, forget your past. Roll up a chair, just relax. Have some punch, I made it myself. I used all the fruit juice we had on the shelf.
Well, fruit juice, you say, no cause for alarm. But one little sip could do any harm. I usually don't, but tonight I might. After all, as you say, it is bingo night.
Have a nice night, but I'm going to bed. Prune juice always goes straight to my head.
Come on, live it up, you can sleep when you're dead. Forget your troubles just like he said.
Forget your past, this place a bed.
Well, there are some things that I'd like to forget.
That's the spirit that you see in the light. We all get down on bingo night.
Bingo night, bingo night. We all get down on bingo night. Bingo night, bingo night. Forget your troubles and come to...
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio in a gray downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text, same number, 855-752-4842. You can always call and text directly if you download the free Civic Media app or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time. The owner and creator of the award-winning Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely.
Glad to recombobulate with you on a Friday.
Yeah, we're going to finish up a little bit talking about the debate. We were just doing that before you joined us, Dan. And we did, courtesy of Penny from La Crosse, have the idea to come up with presidential debate bingo cards for last night as people were watching along. So we did want to acknowledge that malarkey was used.
Yes.
Because that was one of the spots on the card, the bing bong bingo card. And that's
was that the free space in the middle?
No, malarkey free space was just a star, okay. but malarkey was one of them, was one of the squares. And that was worth like an extra 5 points.
Yeah.
Not that it mattered. And we were talking also about the fact that actually Donald Trump seemed like a reasonably normal human last night, which is kind of unusual. Without all the flailing in the hands and the screaming and screeching. And I did mention that I have to give his trainers a lot of credit. So I don't know what treats they offered him him to behave like that.
And we got a text message from Carmela saying, Jane, your line about giving kudos to Trump's trainers, one can only imagine what the treat was to contain Trump. I belly laughed. That made my day.
I'm so glad, Carmela. Really, though, it might have been clicker training, whatever it was. You know, we'll take you out for a Big Mac afterwards, and you can have two scoops of ice cream, and no one else will get them if you're a good candidate. Be a good boy. Be a good boy.
Well, he did his best impression of looking like a normal adult.
He did.
I suppose.
He did.
But if you listen to what he was saying, it was, you know, some seriously ridiculous stuff. Just lie after lie after lie. And on down the line. But I think we all know that's not going to be what happened with Donald Trump last night is not the story of the debate. I think the story of the debate clearly is Joe Biden. And that was a really really awful debate performance.
It was.
By the president. I don't think, you know, the response to this should be that, you know, to tell people to pretend that they didn't see what they just saw, right? You have to meet people where they are. You have to be honest with people. This was a disaster of a debate performance. You know, having this weird late June debate is a strange decision to begin with, but it was, I mean, it was the Biden camp's decision to do things this way, was it not? I mean, and so I think, you know, we just saw in the Marquette poll on Wednesday, the Marquette poll of Wisconsin voters on Wednesday, and 76% of Wisconsin voters, not 76% of Republicans, 76% of voters said that too old is a descriptor that describes President Joe Biden. I think that number is only going to go up after last night's debate performance. I think we have to be honest and clear-eyed about this, because that was an awful performance. And I think there are a lot of, you know, if anybody saw the cable news reaction to the debate last night, I think there are a lot of Democrats having a lot of tough decisions around the country today.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. Yeah, I agree that we can't go and say it was great. He was fabulous. You know, he just had kind of an off night. No, he did not come off well at all. But it does blow my mind. Donald Trump is only 3 years younger than Joe Biden. It's not like he's a decade younger than Joe Biden. And it's certainly not like he's in considerably better health than Joe Biden by any stretch of the imagination.
No, well, and they, you know, they spent a good portion of the debate arguing about their golf games.
Know.
It was just like these two old guys arguing about their golf games. What an insufferable moment from that awful debate. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think you know what my decision would be between the two candidates, right? But I think before that debate, things were kind of looking like they were leaning a little bit towards Trump in many of the battleground states. Anyway, you know, I think Nate Silver put out a projection that said Trump before the debate was like the 2/3 favorite to win the presidency. If you look at some of these polling averages, I think Wisconsin and Pennsylvania were the only two of the seven swing states identified by the Washington Post in their tracker as ones that Biden was leading in. You know, we saw the poll on Wednesday at Marquette poll, it was 50-50 among registered voters, 51-49 in favor of Biden among likely voters. So as toss up as it gets. And I think after this debate performance, you have to imagine things are going to move even further in Trump's direction. So I think there's going to be a lot of really difficult conversations among Democrats in the days and weeks to come here.
Sherry from Horicon listening here on WAUK says, I'm riding with Biden. Look at all he has done. And we have Jean from Eau Claire is on the line joining the show for the first time. Good morning, Jean. What did you want to say?
Hi, guys. Now, I've been an independent my entire life, but I do vote for democracy. I do vote for women's rights. And I do vote for many things. However, last night, you know, when everybody was playing with their criteria for what they were going to look for. Well, what I was looking for was it's an older manual, worked in the field, diagnostic criteria for narcissistic personality disorder. And Trump went through many of them. And, is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love. Has a sense of entitlement. He requires constant attention, admiration, keeps fishing for compliments, lack of empathy, inability to recognize and experience how others feel, annoyance, you know, with somebody that, you know, is seriously ill or sick or whatever, and preoccupied with feelings of envy and reacts to criticisms with feelings of rage, humiliation, and this guy, and interpersonally exploitive, takes advantage of others to achieve his or own ends. He hits every single one of the criteria. Now, when you go up there and you have a stutter, a disability, and you only have so many minutes, and this is the most important, you know, debate of your life, and you have these crushing things, and then you have a guy like that who starts lying. So here you are paying attention to the clock. You're paying attention to your audience because you care about America. And then you only have a brief period of time to address every single one of those lies. My gosh. And then, on top of that, I could tell there was something not right because of his voice.
Yeah, you could hear it in his voice, Gene. Thank you so much, Gene. Really appreciate you calling, and really, as always, appreciate you for listening. I understand what she's saying, and I think that there are some people who will. I mean, Trump is a malignant narcissist. I don't think that's a secret.
No,
right. But that's not new.
No, that isn't new. And I also agree with her
that hasn't changed for 8 years.
Right.
I think we talked about this on last week's show. You know, everything that we worried about being normalized about Trump in 2016 has happened now in 2024. You know, we have had 8 years of this. We're not, it's not the shock value of these absurd things that Donald Trump is saying is not the same as it once was. Trump is all of those things you just described, our listener just described him as. But the story from the debate is that Joe Biden doesn't look like he did 4 years ago. He doesn't look like he did 4 years ago. And so I think that's a really, you know, I think a lot of people around the country are having some sort of sober realizations here about where things are with this presidential race and where things are with the president in general. But look, I think it's also important to remember that this is not the only race on the ballot. Right. I saw a couple of people point this out last night. You know, the road to the White House still goes through Wisconsin, and there are races up and down the ballot in Wisconsin, state assembly, state Senate, U.S. Senate, for Congress, that people can get activated and organized and be passionate about making a change. Because I still think at the end of the day, the Democratic message, the policies are winners. And that's important for all of those candidates up and down the ticket who might be worried about the candidate at the top right now.
Well, and I think it's really important that we remind folks, and Deb Kronmiller from the Wisconsin League of Women Voters is going to be joining us next week. As we talked about with you, Dan, on the August ballot, now we're going to be these two new constitutional amendments, and the August turnout tends to be very, very low. This is very much, in my estimation, by design to get to make sure people aren't informed for an issue that they're really interested in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, so let's just try and sneak this on there. And if nobody knows what they're voting for, it'll be fine. And just consolidate more power for the Republican legislature is essentially what these two constitutional amendments would do.
Yeah. They're coming at a time when the August primary is, you know, not projected to be a high turnout one. We had I think it was the 27% turnout 2 years ago, and that was the highest August partisan primary turnout that we had in 20 years. So I think it is, you know, that race is really important in August to turn out for that one, even though there's not, you know, a statewide primary for governor or competitive one for senator or whatever. That's going to be a really important one. It's, you know, it's election after election after election. You got to show up every single time when you're in a swing state like Wisconsin. You cannot take any plays off.
No, you really can't. And these constitutional amendments, I'm telling you, the more we learn about them, the worse it gets. So vote no and vote.
Yeah.
Myvote.wi.gov. We're going to keep harping on that too. Myvote.wi.gov. We do have a comment from John Kay on the live stream I wanted to share. Biden looked like an 80-year-old with a lifelong stuttering problem. Trump looked like an 80-year-old with a lifelong legal problem. I will still take Biden every day of the week, twice on Sunday. Thank you, John. I agree with you, John, but again, I think if you listen to our show, if you listen to Civic Media, if you read Dan's columns, we are very invested in politics and policy and all the stuff that's going on, and most people aren't.
I think you have to look at these debates as one of those moments that, you know, people who are not tuned into politics like we are, you know, writing weekly columns and hosting daily shows, you know, some people might only tune in for a debate. I think there's just overall, there has just not been a whole lot of enthusiasm for this presidential race. We saw that in the polling from Marquette earlier this week as well. So I think, you know, a lot of people who might not follow this regularly kind of in denial or not really caring that we're getting a rerun of the election 4 years ago, and to finally sit down and hear what these candidates have to say, you can't be encouraged. If you sat down, if you're a Joe Biden supporter, you sat down and watched that debate last night, just, you know, point blank, it's a disaster of a debate.
We were talking about it. I was talking to my mom about it this morning. I was saying, for a lot of people, the debate is like the playoff season. They'll get involved when it's after the conventions, after they've right. made it through. That's because on record has to be the weirdest debate in modern history. There's pretty much no primary. I mean, there was a very truncated primary. It was useless. We had a debate between the two candidates before they were nominated. And we can talk about the RNC coming up in a moment, but the RNC is kind of like, where is that going? Like, it just seems to be falling down a hill, and people who are used to a certain schedule, at least with their elections, are like, I don't know what's going on. Why are they debating in June?
Now, yeah. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area, and we are going to talk about the RNC coming to Milwaukee in just a couple of weeks. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Home before a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. As he does every Friday at this time, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. We were talking a little bit about last night's presidential debate. We have a couple textures on the live stream. John from Menominee Falls: honestly, the issues are more important to me than the candidate. For that reason, I will vote for Joe Biden, even if he were dead, rather than Donald Trump. Tom from West Dallas: what Biden really needs to do now is have a couple of fireside chats when he's feeling better. Then he can address all these issues that did not get addressed during the debate. Also, the Supreme Court, yeah, Tom, just overturned the Chevron doctrine. I don't know if you saw that, Dan. We did talk about that a little bit at the top of the show. And that's not good, the whole Chevron doctrine. That's a whole nother discussion.
Nope.
You must be muted.
Nope.
Oh, now you're good.
There you go.
Okay. Doesn't seem great, Jane. Doesn't seem great.
No, it really doesn't.
A little discombobulating this morning with the debate fallout, with the Supreme Court decisions. A discombobulating morning, to be
absolutely
sure.
Well, let's talk about the RNC coming to Milwaukee, kind of turning into a big...
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's...
Is that the official term?
The official terminology that people are using for the RNC in Milwaukee. But yeah, I broke a story this week at the recombobulation area, a special report that I wrote on the underwhelming level of activity happening in and around the RNC, which is now just over 2 weeks away.
Right.
So we are, you know, the signage has gone up on Fiserv Forum downtown, and the event is rapidly approaching, but there are a number of venues, restaurants, and bars that are still kind of wondering when this level activity is going to pick up. So, you know, there have been a couple stories over the past month about some certain restaurant and bars and waiting for to see what was going to happen. But I was able to have a conversation with Gary Witt, who is the president and CEO of the Pabst Theater Group, which oversees the Pabst, Riverside, Turner Hall, Vivarium, and Fitzgerald. And Gary told me exclusively on the record there that that they do not have any events booked at the majority of their properties. The Pabst and Riverside are going to sit empty during the convention. Two of downtown Milwaukee's most iconic venues will be sitting empty during the convention. The only one of those properties that is going to have anything there is Turner Hall Ballroom, right, which is hosting CNN, which is through an agreement made before the DNC in 2020. We've also got a number of restaurant owners that I talked to, some of whom went on the record, including folks at Loopy and Iris, of celebrated downtown restaurant, was just featured on the premiere episode of this season of Top Chef. And they told me that they have only one private dinner booked for the entire week of the convention. Another one, talked to James Beard nominated chef Gregory Leone, who owns Amelinda, which is just, you can see the Pfister Hotel from the front door of Amelinda. So right in the mix with by a lot of the downtown hotels. They also did not really have any reservations coming. And I think since I broke that story on Wednesday, there have been, you know, a number of other people who have come forward saying the same thing. Dan Jacobs, the Top Chef finalist from this past season,
yep,
and the owner of Dan Dan, said that they have not had any event inquiries for their restaurant in the Third Ward. I also saw today that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published a story that also featured Wit and the leaders from Loopy and Iris, also quoted a number of Old World Third Street bars and restaurants, which are just like a
right
block
there
from Fiserv Forum, saying that, you know, there's a couple places that are like 50% booked or whatever, but places that are, you know, one of the guys said who owns a bar called the Red, White, and Blue Bar. So you would think maybe RNC,
you know, that should make the cut,
interested in that one. And he said he was 50% booked. And he said 4 years ago for the DNC, he was 100% booked by January. Here we are in the last few days of June, and this is still the story that many people are talking about. And you know, I know there are a number of events that have been booked. You know, The Daily Show is going to be broadcasting out of the Marcus Center,
yep,
for 4 days, including the Thursday with Jon Stewart hosting. There's going to be a welcome party at Summerfest with Trace Adkins. They're expecting 15,000 people to attend that on the Sunday night. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Yeah. But I think on the whole, you know, what I've been hearing and what is, you know, seems like the floodgates are open now for a number of other people reporting the same story, is that the level of activity is just not meeting expectations for this type of mammoth convention event in Milwaukee. And as Gary told me, it's a seriously a case of over promise, under deliver.
I mean, I know that I'm not the Pabst Theater or Amelinda or any of these places that are much closer, but we're in the Third Ward, or I'm sorry, we're in Walker's Point on Fifth Street, and we have nothing. No even calls to like small events. Not even calls, like we were expecting calls from comics who would be in town with a Daily Show or doing stuff there. Like, hey, we'd love to use a venue for a late night show or drinks or something.
Nothing.
Nothing.
See, and maybe I'm being just way overly suspicious, but this feels like a stick it to Milwaukee kind of thing.
You know, it's just bizarre. It's just, I think it, you know, the horrible city comments were one thing. This lack of activity is another. Even after all of this, though, I think, you know, what Gary Witt said, I asked him if he thinks it was a mistake for Milwaukee to host the RNC, and he said no. And he said, this is, you know, Milwaukee should take risks like this. You know, Gary books a lot of people from both sides of the aisle at the Pabst Theater,
right,
venues. But he said this comes down to execution. Quote, you can't just want to do things. You have to want to do them right. And not much about this has been done right.
Subscribe to the award-winning The Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time. Thank you so very much, Dan. We will see you next week.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
News is on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.